your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Good morning and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate faith into all the areas of our lives. We like to start the program with a scripture reading. And today I'm going to go back to one of my very favorites. It's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 goes like this. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with your righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, 10, that verse is near and dear. I've slept with that verse, hung out with that verse. It's carried me a long way, and I hope it blesses you today. Isaiah 41, 10. So again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the Word today and also give you eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to let you know we also have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes and we have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to pray for you if you have any prayer requests, and that is really at the heart of this ministry. So thank you so much for tuning in. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. With us on the program today, we have my friend Wynn Wood. And Wynn, what most people probably don't know is that you and I grew up in the same neighborhood or adjacent neighborhoods. I was Bethesda. What were you?
Yeah, I was Bethesda. I was down on Tilden Lane, so we're pretty close. Okay. You're Whitman. Yes. I was at Woodward. They're rival schools. Yeah. A little smaller than yours, but same area. Yep, yeah, absolutely.
And we're both soccer players. How
That's
about
right.
Pineapples?
That's right. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was a fun time for soccer back in those days. Of course, Bethesda is still a hotbed for soccer today, but it seemed like in the late 70s, early 80s, Bethesda was really kind of one of the really hot zones for soccer in the entire country. And what you and I know, even though this is a faith show, we're talking soccer, what you and I know that if you were one of the best teams in Bethesda, as a result of that, you were automatically one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
But thanks for reconnecting. And, you know, I hadn't seen you in a lot of years. And we
absolutely.
Yeah, ran with a lot of the same friends and know a lot of the same people. But on this show, what we like to do is start out hearing about your faith journey. This is a show, Everyday Faith Radio, and we like to share faith, how people came to faith, and then I'm probably going to ask you 100 questions.
Sure. Yeah, as you mentioned, we both grew up in that area, and my faith journey started when I was younger. And real honestly, when I was younger, I was always been very goal oriented. Even when I was a kid, I had three goals in life. One was to be captain of the soccer team, data cheerleader, and to be really involved in the popular parties. I kind of hit all those gates, and I was very unhappy. About that time, a guy came along who really, really loved Jesus, and I saw a real difference in his life, and I was really attracted to that. And really came to faith just seeing this guy love me and see that he had something I really wanted. Mm. And that was really the beginning of my walk, and that's continued since. I mean, it's been a great journey getting to know the Lord more. And he's the creator of life. He knows how this thing works best, and figuring that, you know, going with his compass is better than my compass. And that's kind of where my faith has been.
Oh, let me, you know, one of the joys of doing this program is that every week I get to hear somebody's testimony, and it's very powerful and insightful. But one of the commonalities is there's always that woman or always that guy, always that person, not always, but oftentimes that person that influences your decision on faith. And when you look back at that, can we explore that just a little bit more? What was it about him that you saw visibly? Because here you are achieving all three of your goals. You set these three goals out, and yet you find kind of dirt, nothing. It didn't fill. And then you see this other person. Can you go a little deeper on that?
Yeah, this is a guy, and it's really interesting. We came from totally different backgrounds. It's kind of like you. We both kind of were in the D.C. area. Our families were, you know, middle, upper, you know, wealthy, pretty good people. And this guy came from like a street gang environment. He was a pretty tough guy and had really come to Christ. And I remember we were hanging out together and his Volkswagen went out, his engine went out. And he literally got out of the car and he goes, you know, I don't have the money to pay for this. And he literally prayed that his engine would restart. Mm-hmm. And we got back in, turned it on, and sure enough, it restarted. And I had moments like that with this guy that I was like, wow, you're a little different than the other guys that I hang out with that, you know, talk about things. And he just really, you know, he exuded a real love and a real authentic peace that I really was really looking for in his life. And that was a real attraction to begin asking the questions of what got him there. And that really led me to really want that for me. And that's what got me there.
Thank you for sharing that. Can you walk us through? I'm just sort of interested on this. So you have kind of a new desire for faith and a desire for Jesus. What were maybe some stumbling blocks for you early on kind of in your faith walk? Was there anything that you just kind of didn't make sense to you, or did all the pieces kind of fall into place? Was there anything about the gospel, the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus? Is there anything in there that you said, you know, this doesn't fit for me?
Yeah, I was just like, I don't really get it. At that time, my faith was there's God's up there, and I get that he's probably holy and perfect, whatever being that is. And I'm down here, and at my best moment, I'm probably not cutting it to being perfect like he is. Mm-hmm. But I never really got the personal relationship piece that this guy had, and I really just never made that connection. I just didn't understand in the 21st century that the Bible had any bearing, really, other than a bunch of moral truths. Mm-hmm. To my real life of what I'm really struggling with in school, with friends, with life. Mm-hmm. And that guy just really unpacked that was really the stumbling block, was just not thinking that this was real or authentic. And that began a real exploration of a lot of questions about, you know, can I rely on this to be really true? Mm-hmm. And we got into a lot of deeper thinking and discussions and kind of unpacked those and worked through those. And that's kind of where I came.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is my friend Wynn Wood. Wynn, let's fast forward to today, and I'm going to kind of zoom in and zoom out a few times in your life, but let's just kind of talk about how your faith has matured. What do you see now as an adult, parent, happily married? Talk to me about faith with your life today, right now?
Well, it's, you know, it's a day-to-day thing. I think for me, and the way it's matured is just to see that, you know, just really understand God's sovereignty more in my life now. I think in my simple faith, kind of like my friend, I wanted to pray, see things happen. And a lot of times they didn't always happen perfectly in that moment, very quickly. That God has a bigger purpose and there's more going on than just my little bubble. And as you get older, you get more mature, you kind of see that it's not just about, you know, what I'm looking at right here and now. And how that's worked out in my life and what I do now, because we have a similarity. We're both in real estate. Mm-hmm. I'm on the other side of it. I'm an investor. My group invests in real estate. But I deal with people in all different types of situations. I deal with a lot of distress. I deal a lot with estates. I deal a lot with people who are, frankly, separating and they need help or closure, or people that just need to rebalance things and get back on their feet. And so my faith is really good in the sense that I can really understand and really love people really where they're at and really help them through difficult times. And sometimes my group ends up helping them where we purchase, or I end up helping them just kind of rebalance or help themselves get settled. And that's been really a real practical area in my life that my faith has really been able to. I've had two situations in the last few years where people were literally suicidal. Mm. And I remember just stopping the conversation, say, look, I don't know if you have any faith at all or where you're at in life, but would it be okay if I pray for you? Mm. And just pray for them and just got them off the ledge and really, you know, got to a better place. And there, you know, things like that that are really practical in life that you see real life in what I do with
my
business.
That's interesting because I literally just got off the phone an hour ago with a client and I was explaining that kind of my way of faith in action as a real estate broker is that I am actually in the foot washing business and we come in to serve. And because selling, I help people buy and sell, but I do a lot with my seller clients who need their feet washed during this process. It is a stressful time. And a lot of my clients are, if you are selling a house and buying a house and you're dealing with double mortgages and double utilities and lots of doubles and money's going out and your house isn't selling. And so
it's the biggest investment of most people's lives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty scary. Yeah, absolutely.
But my little, the way this whole thing fits for me is that to wash the feet of my client, knowing that when things get hot, that foot that I'm washing may actually kick me, and it's oftentimes unintentional, over emotional, but that's the business that you get into. And that has been a kind of a radical change for me in my business as I've grown in my faith to be able to my way of bringing in the gospel into a real estate transaction is through the service and hope that it, you know, there's some overflow in that. And then
absolutely.
Every now and again, I have to wear a mouth guard if the kicking gets too intense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We're heading towards the break, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. We have my friend Wynn Wood on the program. Wynn, as we head out to the break, let me hit you up with this one. Let me go here. Any of our listeners tuned in, maybe inadvertently this morning, we have a lot of faithful listeners, and I thank each one of you for tuning in. But somebody new who's just kind of tuned in today, and they've never been able to cross the line of faith. They just don't get it. Doesn't make sense. They don't know what to do. What would you say to somebody listening today who kind of wants to know more about how can I have an active faith?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is just to stay open, number one, because I think as Americans, we like to, you know, have three bullet points and kind of have things lined out for us. Be open, because we tend to be pretty shut down pretty quickly on ideas. And then to really seek out really exploring the Bible for its authenticity and who Jesus really is. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it really comes down to who was Jesus and what is that really about? And most people just dismiss it because they see some guy on TV that they're turned off with, or they've heard, you know, they had a bad experience in a church, and people are, you know, we're broken things, but God is the real deal. And so really explore that. Really, you know, I'd really encourage reading, you know, one of the gospel books, either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and really just be open to that and really seek that out. And then the two books that I really talk about people to read, because I'm a business guy and I get this a lot in business, is Proverbs is an amazing book. It's my go-to for business guys who go, the Bible has nothing to say to me. Well, why don't you read the book of Proverbs? Because Cleopatra, who is a real, you know, real person, I was a history major, she spent a lot of money and time going from Egypt to sit at Solomon's feet and listen to what the guy had to say. She paid him a buttload of money to do it. And basically, Solomon gave her amazing wisdom, and that's written for us. It's timeless, and it's great practical advice, whether you're in marriage, life, or anything else, and that'll go to the next thing. So that in the book of Psalms has been a real encouragement to me, especially because I've had some health issues, which we may explore. But that also is a real good encouragement book to to read. But one of the Gospels, and then from a business standpoint, look at Proverbs, because it's no more practical than there.
And let me just, as we're heading to the break, that's really good advice from Wynwood. When we're heading out to the break, I love what you just said. God is the real deal. And you also mentioned Psalms. I want to encourage any of our listeners, just strolled through Psalm 55, and one of the key verses there is, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. That's for somebody carrying a burden today that needs to get it off and give it to Jesus. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break. Be right back with my friend Wynn Wood. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have my friend from Bethesda, Maryland, Wynn Wood. Wynn, you know, I'm tempted to talk more soccer, but my mother is one of the listeners of this program. She'll be like, oh, less soccer. I want to get into more of the faith talk. So we'll go back to faith. One of the things I've been talking about on this show for probably ever is lessons from the valley.
Yeah.
That in life, we think that we're always going to stay up on the mountaintop and have all these great experiences, but things happen in life, and a lot of unexpected things happen. And what we've experienced in this show is we've had folks on the program who have shared they've lost in the middle of the night a loved one. And we lost a loved one in the battle of cancer. We've had people on who have had battles with addictions, lost children. The list goes on. And during those times, that's what we refer to on this program as valley experiences, when you feel like you're free falling all the way down into the pit. And to the extent you can, I want to hear a little bit about your valley experiences and then a little bit about kind of what you learned during the valley.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the reasons I think talking with you and coming onto the show is you're aware that about a year and a half ago, January, I was on a trip in Cancun with my wife for our 30th anniversary. And long and short is I had real bad back pain. I thought I'd tweaked my back, you know, like we all do. We're athletes, you know, it happens. So I came back, and long and the short, after multiple visits with one doctor, then to the next doctor, then the next, I finally got to an MRI, and they found this grapefruit, pretty spread out sized tumor in my back between my esophagus and my spine. And I remember my doctor looking at me, and literally with tears in his eyes, he's like, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, you're really not supposed to be crying. You're supposed to be encouraging. And he's like, no, well, I love you, man, but you know, it's what it is. And you just need to track through it. So long and the short is I went from there. You know, it got pretty dark pretty quick. I mean, everything's fine in one moment. And then all of a sudden it gets pretty black. And so by then I went to an oncologist. Long and the short, we went to MD Anderson, which is one of the top cancer places in the country. It's either that, NIH, or Sloan Kettering. And they were the ones that, for what I had, would be best. So long and the short, three trips down to MD Anderson, multiple visits to UVA, Martha Jefferson, seeing some of the best people in the planet. And I thank them if they're listening for your time and input. But long and the short is I did four biopsies, two surgeries. They still could not really determine, except they thought that I had some kind of sarcoma. But because it was so tricky to get into and there was so much stuff around it, they couldn't really even tell what it was. So I couldn't even do chemotherapy, which is very discouraging. If you've anybody listening that's had cancer, the first thing is they got to determine what it is so they can figure out what to give you. And they couldn't even get there, which is very annoying and frustrating, especially when you've done this for months and you've had multiple surgeries. So I'm sitting there praying, and, you know, it was just a tough time. And but at the same time, I didn't know whether I was going to be here this time this year. Real honestly, I really was kind of checking my will, checking my things. And, you know, it was a really difficult time. And we had a lot of people praying. Probably most of Charlottesville was praying for me. And I really could feel that, really carried me. And but I didn't know whether I was going to really be healed. I prayed that I'd be healed. And, you know, I know a lot of people listening, you know, they see friends that get healed and other people that don't. And I didn't know where that was going to end up. And long and the short is right before I was going to have a massive surgery, literally about this time a year ago, it was going to be in July last year, they were going to go in and they were saying, I don't know if this is going to mess up your walking or because it's in a really tricky area. It was on my heart and near my spine. If they miss a spot, I could not walk kind of thing. So really scary stuff. And one of the doctors before said, well, just for jollies and giggles, let's just load this guy up with prednisone. We'll give him like 100 milligrams for a month and just see if anything happens. He'd been trying anything that they could think of. And right before the surgery, I went down, they scanned me and it's shrunk in half, which the nurse came in with tears and said, I just want to let you know your tumor shrunk in half. And my wife, we've been through so many disappointments. It's like, okay, fine. But when is my surgery? And she goes, no, I don't think you understand. I don't get to give this kind of news very often. And this is good news. And we were both in tears and it was really encouraging. And as a result, I didn't have to have that surgery and I'm still on prednisone at a very low dose. And it's not like I'm out of the woods, but I'm healed to the point that it's down to the size of about a quarter, which is to me an amazing thing. So bottom line is, I would have never though seen, the thing that was really neat about it, a lot of the city came out and supported my family. I mean, there was just amazing love that I would have never experienced had I not been in this. And I was glad that I could experience, that's not the way I'd want to, but I've had other discouraged, you know, I had one of my best friends in college, he'd just gotten married. He was one of my best friends. I came home from summer break at college. He'd been married a year and I called him to go do something and I found out he died. He had a brain tumor. They took him in and they did the surgery 2 days later. He just had double vision while he was studying in med school and he didn't make it off the table. And I remember that summer just being in a just bewildered and just kind of in a stupor and going, why does God heal some people and he doesn't heal other people? I mean, Rusty was the coolest, most awesomest guy I knew. And certainly he'd heal him, but God has a bigger purpose and plans. And that was what I've come to find out. So it's been a good, it's been a difficult ride, but I'm very thankful that I've been healed to the point I am. And I feel a lot like Paul in that Paul prayed three times that God would lift something from him that was affliction. And God finally said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul dealt with it. So I may have this for the rest of my life. I don't know. I might go away. I'm praying it'll shrink out. People say it might burn out, might not, but I may be doing this the rest of my life, whatever that looks like. And it changes the way you look at things too when you've been through this kind of valley. And I think it for me, it's changed for the better. You can either become very bitter or you can really run to the Lord. And, you know, fortunately, I can see that God has a bigger purpose than just, you know, what I'm doing here in my life is. And it's amazing that he lets any of us live at all, given the fact we're pretty rebellious people. I know I am. I'm a pretty strong-willed guy. I like to do things my way. And he's been very patient with me. So it's been a cool journey.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we're talking with my friend Wynn Wood, and he's just opening up about some of the health challenges that he has had. And Wynn, I want to say you look fantastic here. You look great. You have a peace about you. I want to go back to what the Apostle Paul heard from the Lord during his affliction, because we have talked about that on this program, that the Lord says to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can you unpack that a little bit more? And can you stand here and tell our listeners that that is absolutely true?
Absolutely. And not just because I want to just say that, but because, you know, Jesus really has fixed the bigger piece. You know, we all have a kind of a broken compass. We think our compass is perfect. We know where we're going and we got it all together, but he's really fixed that. And that's really the piece that I have is knowing that, you know, he's fixed the bigger, because whether he heals me or not, I'm going to die anyway. I mean, if he healed Rusty or healed me, eventually. But at the end of the day, as image bearers of God, if you believe that in the Bible, and I do, then with what Jesus has done, he's made it so that we have a righteousness that we wouldn't otherwise be able to have because of what he's done. So it's my trust in him that really gives that grace. And that was the thing for Paul, is it was trusting in what Jesus had done, not his efforts, not what how good he was or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to know that God's going to really eventually fix all the brokenness, whether it's sickness, broken relationships. You and I talked earlier about our real estate. I see a lot of brokenness, not just in sickness, but families, and it's painful. And we all yearn for that to be right. And there's something in God that has given us that yearning. And he's fixed it in Jesus.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Again, we have my friend Wynn Wood on the program. And Wynn, we're winding down the show. And I'm so appreciative of you coming on today and sharing not only your faith journey, but also some of your health challenges. And again, you look great. We're going to continue to hold you in prayer. But you have this peace about you. Has it always been that way, or has that sort of grown as a result of what you've been through?
Well, I mean, I've had my freak out moments. I'm human, like I'm sure Paul did, which is why God puts in the Bible things like when you're anxious, pray and be thankful. And, you know, there's been moments like that. But overall, at the deep levels, yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, Christ walks this journey with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, suffering is a part of life. It was for him. And it's, you know, been for me, but there's also a deeper joy and a peace because he really has fixed the bigger pieces. Mm. And I'm very thankful for that.
Wynn Wood, thank you so much again. And I want to say to you, to your family, Wynn Wood, to the Covenant Eagles, who are a big tennis tournament this weekend. I know your son is a big tennis player in the state tennis tournament this weekend. I want to say to all of our listeners, but again, specifically to you, Wynn Wood, and to your family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. And how about two boys from Bethesda on the radio? What's the world coming to?
I tell you what.
That right there is a testament to Jesus. Hey, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Check out our website if you get a chance to listen to some of our previous programs, everydayfaithradio.com. Thank you again so much for tuning in. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you next week on Everyday Faith Radio.
Us new God, we need you to come.